Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
From Dragon Nation, I'm Tim Spain, alongside SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson, up in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and we've got the official Reverend, Mr. Reverend Joe right here. Reverend, how you doing, bud?
All right, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, I hear you fine.
I'm doing okay. Just this Betty's a little bit under the weather, but we're hanging in there.
I heard that. Yeah, Stephen and I both are a little bit under the weather. I got a little stomach bug. I don't know what Stephen's got going on, but we're going to do the best we can tonight, Reverend.
Your microphone's breaking up a little bit on my end, but maybe it's just the way it's coming through on my phone.
Okay. Can you hear me now, Reverend?
Yeah, I can hear you. Shall we get this party started?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Lord, we come before you, and we thank you. We thank you for another day. We thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for all of our listeners, all of the people in auto racing. We thank you for another weekend to look forward to you. We ask you for safety for everyone who races everywhere all over the world. We also ask you to be with us all in every way. We thank you for sending your son to die for our sins so we wouldn't have to suffer the penalty. We also ask you to protect our military and our law enforcement and everyone that wears a uniform and everyone in our government that makes tough decisions every day. Guide them and be with them. And also be with their families. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, River.
Website is ontrackwithjesus.org. My email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. And you can reach me on social media on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubico or at Rev Joe Bubico on Twitter. And I'm slowly getting that figured out.
It ain't that hard, Reverend.
Other than the fact that everybody uses everybody's Twitter handle when they're listing who they're talking to or who they're talking about. So I never know what the heck's going on.
Yeah, you'll get it figured out, Reverend. Everybody uses the at and then hashtag this, hashtag that.
I'm wondering if everyone else is hearing your voice the same way I am, because you're really breaking up.
Okay, I'm going to bring Stephen on here, Reverend. Reverend, thank you again. Tell Miss Betty we said hello and hope she gets feeling better.
We'll do that, and you get better too, and we'll talk to you next week. Give Stephen my best.
We will. Take care, Reverend.
Yeah, you're breaking up pretty bad. It's about every two or three words.
Okay, let's go ahead. You want to go ahead? We had the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series was out in Kansas this past weekend. You want to go ahead and cover some of that, and I'll see if I can figure out what I got going on wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working off of my phone tonight, so I can kind of walk back and forth. But, I'll kind of go over just a little bit of what went on out there in Kansas. And I guess we can get into a little bit of discussion when you get back on here. Just let me know. Out there we were in Kansas out here, the 11th race of the year at Kansas Speedway this year, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series was rolling this weekend, and the Go Bowling 400 with Ryan Blaney winning the pole out there for the Wood Brothers in that number 21 car. Ryan and that team, they've been pretty solid this year. We've talked about it a couple times on the show already. Those guys started the season off by finishing second in the Daytona 500. And he started on the outside pole twice this season already, but he's finally claimed his very first NASCAR Monster Energy Series pole this weekend at Kansas in the Go Bowling 400. Started from pole, Joey Gano on the outside pole out there. We'll get into a little bit of discussion, but went on out there. But lap 199 out there, horrific crash out there involving Joe Logano, Eric Almirola, and Danica Patrick. Danica Patrick, Joe Logano, both of them take the Infield Care Center. Checked and released. Eric Almirola was taken by helicopter to the University of Kansas for overnight observation out there, T5 fracture, T5 compression issue into his spine. He's flown back. He's in Charlotte now. Doctors are taking a look at him. Waiting word on if he will have somebody to take over this weekend at the Coke 600, or what his diagnosis for recovery will be. At the end of the day, Ryan Blaney and those guys, they led over 70-some laps out there. Really strong out there. But, Martin Truex Jr. and those guys, just were able to jump there at the very end, get the win out there for, number 78 French Road Racing Team. This is their second win this year in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series in the Go Bowling 400 out there. So just a little bit about what's going on out there. I'm just kind of working on my phone tonight, so unfortunately I don't have all the stats and scores and all kinds of good stuff I would normally have up and can kind of talk across some of that stuff. But that's kind of some of the things that went on. I know we're going to get into a little bit of the discussion here. I know Tim, he's going to pull. He's already gotten the audio for Scott Miller, the vice president of competition for NASCAR. We're going to talk a little bit more on this issue where the failure of teams that just yet once again for the fourth time this year. Just can't get their act together. They're failing to get to the laser inspection station. In fact, this time we had 11 of them, which 12 of them actually didn't take time, but 11 of them just could not get through laser inspection station to get out there for qualifying. And a couple of them barely was able to make it through. Matt Kenseth was one of them that just barely got through with maybe about a minute and a half left on the clock out there. So, you know, there's some issues out there. And there's some very vocal drivers out there that seem to want to point the fingers at NASCAR on this. But we'll get into a little bit of discussion on this, and I think Tim is back with us now, so we'll go on and get into a little bit more of this, what happened this past weekend at Kansas, and wait for our guest at the bottom of the hour.
Sounds good, Stephen, and if I'm still breaking up, I might have to go to my phone. But, about the...
Yeah, you're still breaking up just as bad.
Well, give me a second. Let me call it on my phone. I'll be right back.
All right. So, Tim, you're going to check back in here with us in just a minute here. But, you know, while we're waiting on that, and I really want to bring him in on this discussion too, because there's just a lot going on about this past weekend at Kansas, and I know we've got the All-Star race coming back up. But while we're doing that, NASCAR yesterday announced coming up at the Coke 600 next weekend for the Memorial Day race, NASCAR's longest night. It is the longest endurance race. It is the longest race that these drivers will race all year long. It's 100 miles longer. It's 600 miles out there. They have introduced a extra stage into this race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It will be now four stages of racing out there instead of the three stages that we've had through the first 11 races of this year, starting in Daytona, which, you know, this was new that was brought in this year. It was really developed through NASCAR, the Drivers Council, TV partners, radio partners, and many other people, industry came together, put this together this year. So coming into the Coke 600 next weekend, there's going to be this four stage that it's going to equal this thing out, so there's going to be 100 laps in each stage out there. This will give every driver out there an additional, stage in which they can go out there and not only earn points for the race, but points that could go towards the end of their year playoff points. You know, one of the kind of things that has come up about this is that it's kind of we're a week and a half away, and this has just coming down. I think it's kind of confusing in one way that we're this close to a race and we're making the changes, especially in the middle part of the season, for NASCAR, the track, and everybody to agree on something like this, you know, to continue a continuity, especially something as brand new as this. You know, there's still a lot of questions about, especially a lot of fans that are out there. They do really still question some of these stage races, how the points are broken down, things like that, and TV and radio, and, you know, everybody in the media, NASCAR, everybody's trying to make sure everybody's on top of it each and every week. And, you know, there are a lot of fans that just don't tune in each and every week, or, you know, are still trying to, you know, get a grip and get a hold on how this all is really coming down. But, you know, we're just 11 races into the year. I mean, we're, you know, coming up on the third way of the season. We're just past the quarter mark, but we're coming up on the third of the season right now, and we're trying to make a change into the way that this is done. And while this may just be a one-off change, I think this is a very confusing change at the same time, considering that, you know, there are some people that only go to select events such as the Daytona 500, the Coke 600, Southern 500, you know, key events throughout the year. These are crown events that, throughout the year that people show up to. So it's a bit confusing, I think, in that aspect of that, you know, we're just 10 or so, 15 days or so out from a race that, you know, the change was made. And then you will get that. You'll get that with the with fans that have been to a previous race already this year, and they wonder if this is going to be for the rest of the year. We have new fans that have heard about the stage race, and then they come in, they hear about it's three stages, but they come there and they find out that it's four stages because they haven't heard that it's a one-off change. I think it's just really confusing in that aspect just a little bit that, you know, even if it's just a one-off change, it's just confusing at the aspect that we're doing this close to the race. So, you know, hopefully it's going to be promoted out there enough that people can understand it. But I just think that at this point, we really need to make sure that the continuity stays if the race fans are going to continue to try and learn the new stage-based racing that we've got out there in NASCAR, especially in all three series that we have out there. And this is only going to be for the Coke 600 that we're going to run there at Charlotte. So, you know, at least that's, you know, one event out there. I don't think it's too bad out there that only one event is going to be like that, but I just think it, at the same time, it's, you know, we've got to think long-term about a lot of fans that are out there that, you know, are casual passerby fans at the same time that sometimes do, you know, that are not, you know, every single week watching the events. So, you know, we've got to be mindful. We always have to worry about those fans too at the same time, not just the fans that are tuning in each and every week and have already learned some of these rules as the changes have continued to be made throughout the year. There's many of these fans, as I said. some of the other things going on out there at Charlotte this week, you know, this weekend is the All-Star race out there. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on with that. You get the Camp Pro Truck Series. It's going to be there Friday night at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And then the All-Star race. They've moved everything back over into a one-day format this year. The one year that they did that on two separate days, that the qualifying was, the open was on the night of the Truck Series, and then we ran the All-Star race on a separate night. Those were, you know, I think they split the event up just a little too much. It didn't make the flow. It didn't flow as well as I think you've seen last year. I mean, last year you saw Kyle Larson go out there, and, I mean, he was up against that wall to make that pass at the line to, you know, get out there and get into the All-Star race. I think those are the kind of pressure that we need to put on these drivers for those last lap passes, for those once-in-a-lifetime type events that you're going to see when these drivers really have to drive really, really hard in order to get out there and run, especially to get into the All-Star race.
I definitely agree, Stephen. Definitely. I want to apologize. I had a headset and mic issue. I will figure out what's going on later, but Stephen, let me let everybody know the number to call in is 215-383-3681. I'm Tim Spain alongside of Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. At the bottom of the hour, we've got Mr. Spencer Boyd coming on. He's going to talk some truck racing with us. And we are giving away a T-shirt via trivia question later. But, Stephen, thanks for filling in there. And I'm back. And I know you want to listen to some of that audio there, Scott Miller talking about the 11 cars that did not pass LIS there at Kansas. So let's go right on into that and listen to a little bit about what Scott Miller had to say there at Kansas.
Tell us what you told TV. What I told TV is it's fairly disappointing that they can't present their cars to pass inspection. That's essentially what I told TV.
Is there a particular violation that's running a common thread with these cars?
Yeah.
Sorry, let me knock out live radio. We'll go right back to you, I promise.
Yeah, bud.
Scott Miller from the competition department. Scott, assess what the challenges were here today with the inspection.
Oh, we had plenty of cars that did not pass the LIS station. You know, that's What we measure there is a big performance metric, and everybody pushes the limit. Obviously, pushed the limit a little bit too much today, and a lot of cars didn't pass.
Is there a thought process going forward on adjustments that need to be made? I know maybe not on your part, on the team part, because we had so many cars that didn't even get an attempt today.
Well, I mean, I think that it's pretty obvious that they can't. There was 28 cars presented cars that did pass inspection, so it's certainly possible for the other ones to get it right.
Now, there you go. That's Scott Miller. He is from the competition.
Scott, one
driver.
Wait a
minute, let me ask one thing real quick. I asked if there's a common thread between all these violations. What might that be?
Well, it's the LIS machine where we measure the rear steer of the car, which is a big performance metric. It's something that everybody pushes to try to get right to the limit, and they want to be right on the limit, and they obviously 11 of them were over the limit.
Can you talk about, one driver told me, he said, obviously I didn't go to college, but when there's that many over, there's a problem, or...
Yep, there is a problem with the way they're presenting the cars. Yep, there is.
Talk about the tolerances, and, you know, are they pushing the tolerances too much so there's no room for error?
Well, there is no room for error past the tolerance that we have set, and... We feel like that they should be able to make it through the LIS.
Has this approach anything that's happened this season with at other tracks?
Yeah, we've had cars miss qualifying before.
To this degree, though.
We've had 10.
Okay.
Yep.
Where was that?
Several tracks.
Okay. If this continues, are you looking at potentially having penalties down the road for teams don't miss
qualifying? We need to assess how we're doing all this and make sure that. The right message is sent, yeah.
One of the crew chiefs told me it is what it is. What is it? Like, I know technically what it is, but what is it, and how do you communicate to them that you can't have this every week?
It's been communicated. Everybody knows what we do every week, so, I mean, it's one of those things that we'll circle back around and try to get it right, but I really don't know what else there is for us to say, honestly.
Thanks, guys.
Stephen, that was Scott Miller there at Kansas talking about the rear steer of the car with the 11 that did not pass the LIS station. And what he's talking about is, correct me if I'm wrong, he's talking about the skew. You know, like back in the few years back, last year, year before that, we used to see the car kicked out a lot toward the back end. Well, NASCAR has made its tolerances per the NASCAR rule book now, and the teams are, like he said, are pushing it right up to the tolerance.
Yeah, so what they're testing for there on the cars, they're testing for things such as the rear axle location, the caster camber, you know, those types of things, the measurements of the car using a laser templating on the car, as well as the wheelbase. There's some other things that they're also looking for. And just to kind of go back into this, because I actually had to research this myself, the misconception is here is that this thing is checking the entire car. They don't check the entire car. They have a template that checks the body templates themselves, and that's still done the old way, where they put a template on the body, the human eye takes a look at it, it either passes or it fails. These are things on the undercarriage of the car, the underbody, the caster cambers, the rear axle locations, as I was talking about, those types of things. Now, before this car ever even comes to the racetrack, ever unloads, when they build the chassis, the tubular framed chassis, they present this to NASCAR as a tubular framed chassis. NASCAR will put it on the plate and certify it. And at that point, it's also given RFID tags, which these are chips, basically, that can identify the car when it comes to the list inspection. When it comes to the track, which is a laser inspection station, will then use these RFID tags to identify the car, verified that it has already been pre-certified, that it's already been certified that it was good at some point, and then it will also go, the software will go through a process of basically, my understanding of, it will center the car before it begins taking its measurements, its laser measurements. And these laser measurements will go all the way into a 1/10,000th of an inch, which is smaller than the human eye can actually give a pass fail on, which is kind of sort of why NASCAR really went to this system. And it either will give them a readout as to they're in a pass, which they've set the tolerances for the pass for the particular track or particular car, or they fail. And this is what has happened, is like these 11 cars that didn't make it through, they failed. And this is, like I said in the opening, you know, this is the fourth time this year that it's happened. It happened at Atlanta. It happened at Auto Club Speedway. It happened there at Kansas. And it happened at Las Vegas. This is the fourth time this year in 11 races that we've had this problem. So,
right.
I mean, you know, this process is something that they've had in place for 4 years now. This isn't something new. It's been improved upon. You know, Scott made mention that, you know, they're just going to have to look at it. They continue telling these teams. And, you know, by failing the list inspection, the penalty right now is just if you lose practice time at the next race. You saw it, but I wrote about this just the other day, and I said, look, you know, we can't just keep taking time away, practice time away. It's not doing any good. I mean, the problem is just getting worse. We've had 10 cars, 11 cars, 6 to 8 cars. All the teams are doing is taking them back to the garage stall and working on them more. They're not doing anything with it to fix the problem. So I think it's more than past time that we start suspending crew chiefs, fining the teams, taking points away. And as I said, if this is an issue with a whole fleet of cars coming from a team or a builder, park them in the garage. Make them tear the car apart. If they can pass inspection, let them go out there and race. If they can't, make them pack it up and go home for the weekend.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's a continuing problem, just like you said. And like you said, I don't know what the fix is. You know, you heard Scott Miller there at Kansas. You know, like you said, the other 28 cars passed. I mean, you know, it's just – but they're going to continue, like you said, to push that envelope because they're trying to get that little bit of advantage. And everything is so tight in competition now with NASCAR, but they're going to keep pushing it. And I think one thing, too, a lot of your big-name drivers like, Dale Jr. and all them, I think the sponsors should probably step up and say something because, you know, that's putting them in the back of the season.
No, I mean, it is. I mean, this is a sponsor-driven sport, and it's critical for them to not have their drivers starting in the back, you know, because of something like that. I mean, it needs to be part of that, too. But, I mean, this is an issue that I think we have to attack at the same way we attacked the lug nut issue. When teams were told, hey, you know, go do whatever you need to do, and they started really pushing the envelope and putting one or two lug nuts on, and NASCAR said, nope, we're not doing that anymore. This is the problem. This is a safety problem. This is more than a safety problem. You've taken it over the line, and you can't self-police yourself. And they started slapping down $25,000 penalties. They started sending people home. That started getting the message across. And now people make sure those lug nuts are put on. So that's why I say, the practice time isn't doing anything. We've had this 4 times in 11 races, up to 10, 11 cars are at the time aren't getting through because, as he said, they can't present their cars. They do this 38 times a year. There's no excuses into this. This has been in place for 4 years now. It's time to start penalizing them. Points, fines, suspensions, or like I said, if it's egregious enough to the point that it's a whole team or a whole manufacturer, you know, that's building chassis for a team, park them in the garage. Make them sit out. Make them go home. Make them do whatever. Rebuild the car in the garage. That's what they do at short tracks. I mean, this is big board racing up here. This isn't just, you know, your local short track where, you know, a little mistake, you know, they may let it go or may let it slide because you're the shade tree mechanic. You're supposed to be the best of the best. Act like it.
Exactly. And, Stephen, we've got a young man that's waiting to come on right now, and I'm pretty sure he could tell us just how hard it took him to get to the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series. We got driver number 12, GruntStyle.com, Chevrolet for Rick Ware Racing. Let's bring him in the pit stop. Dennis Payne and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Spencer, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing great. Thank you for taking time to call in. You're probably listening to us talking about all that stuff that are going on with NASCAR with 11 cars, you know, failing the LIS. And, you know, just like Stephen said, you know, you're in the big time now, just like you are. You're in the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series. You work hard to get where you're at. So, I mean, you know, I know every crew chief tries to get a little, but you try to make sure you make the race too, don't you, Spencer?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we're all lucky to be at this level, and we want our crew chiefs to push the limit. But when you start sacrificing qualifying and practice time, I know me and some other drivers, we don't like that.
Yeah, I understand exactly, Spencer. And coming off a top 20 finish out there at a Kansas Speedway, that was awesome. You want to talk a little bit about how the track was, how your truck ran and everything?
Yeah, so, you know, it was my first time at Kansas Motor Speedway. Great facility. You know, there were a lot of fans out there, so it was a great time. Got a top 20. You know, not bad considering our situation. You know, we qualified 30th. We knew there was something major wrong in qualifying because, I mean, we were a few seconds off the pace. And we knew we wouldn't qualify in the top 10, but obviously, you know, qualifying in the top 27 is our goal every week to be locked in. So when we qualified 30th, we knew something was up. The guys kind of went to work checking some things, and we had to go all the way to the back. It wasn't too far. You know, we went back to 32nd because we changed the carburetor for the race. And taking the green flag, going around, by the time I got to turn three, I keyed up the mic, and I was like, you know, we're good to go. We're a lot better than we were. So we were fighting that carburetor issue. It just took us a while to find out that was the problem. You know, we kind of checked a few different things, and you know, at Kansas, you're wide open, so naturally you're going to bog the motor down and the truck down through the center of the corner. But when we were losing so much RPM, I knew there was, you know, a carburetor issue or a drivetrain problem. So we got that handled. We stayed on the lead lap all the way up until about the second stage. So we were happy with that. And as the race went on, you know, the track kind of rubbered up and we got faster and faster, but those long green flag runs, you know, we ended up going a couple laps down. But great race all in all, top 20. Truck's clean, and obviously, you know, a small team like myself, we need that truck going into Charlotte this weekend. And I had, I don't know if you guys saw, but we had Sam Bass on board, our number 12 Gruntstyle Excessive Car Chevy Silverado. You know, it was really cool. Anybody in NASCAR knows that Sam Bass is an icon. You know, the only official NASCAR licensed artist, and he's fighting, you know, he needs a kidney right now. So we did the hashtag Help Sam Bass, and to get a top 20, when I got that text, when I got out of the truck, I was pretty happy.
That's exciting. Thank you for doing that for Sam. Yeah, Sam, Sam's good friends with Steven and me and Steven also. And yeah, just to let everybody know, Sam, I don't know if they got a GoFundMe account set up, Spencer, but I think you can send a donation or you can try to get a match where you know where he can get a kidney. But yeah, Sam's been around for a long time, does a lot of great stuff for all three upper tier series. But yeah, we want to send our thoughts and prayers to Sam. And Spencer, I know your time is short, but before I hand you over to Stephen Wilson, can you take one question?
Absolutely.
From a caller. Okay. This is my good friend from up at Watkins Glen is his home track. Let's bring Todd Big Ben. I ain't talked to Todd in a while. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, you're in the pit stop with Tim and Steven, and we've got Mr. Spencer Board on. Would you like to ask Spencer a question?
Spencer, it is so awesome to see you supporting Sam and for what you do.
I appreciate that.
And I follow you on Facebook, so I keep up on all your stuff. What was the most challenging thing besides your little hiccup for that race?
Well, I haven't ran a lot of mile and a half. So the most challenging thing I would say is, I did a pace car ride along with Johnny Sauter, and he goes, here in practice, you're going to be wide open, but in the race, you'll probably not run a single lap wide open just because of the dirty air and just, getting so many laps on the tires and stuff like that. And I thought, man, this place is flat. Out here in this pace car, and it's pretty narrow, as you get down into the corner. I'm like, I'm not sure if you can go wide open here. I mean, I trust Johnny Sauter. He's our reigning champion. But, that first corner or two, I was like, all right, I'll feel this out and kind of crack the throttle. And then, eventually you kind of lay into it. And, my most recent race before Kansas was Daytona. And you run that racetrack wide open, for hundreds of miles, and you don't think anything of it because the car handles so great. And it's not a big deal. It's pretty wide. Then you go to Kansas, and it's so flat, and you're like, I'm not sure if you can go wide open. So once I kind of overcame that that mental deal, I was good to go.
Well, that's awesome, and I'm wishing you the best of luck for the rest of the year.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thanks for following along.
Thank you for answering the question for me.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Todd. Todd is a big follower of every sport of racing that you can think of, Spencer. But anyway, like I said, I want to throw you over to Steven Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. Again, thank you for taking time to come on the show, and good luck at Charlotte this weekend. And like Todd said, good luck the rest of the season, bud. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, bud.
Spencer, thanks for taking time to come on here tonight. I know you guys had tried to qualify earlier this season at Daytona, so this was your first race in the Camping World Truck Series this year. So when you got here to Kansas, the stage-based racing was obviously something new for you. You had raced in 2016 at a couple of different tracks, including Martinsville, which is a short track. But when you got out there, what kind of strategy did you kind of have in your mind to work these stages out there, especially or who did you talk to out there in the garage that, might have been helpful, might have, already been out there and raced some of these stages?
Well, the stages were definitely new for me this year, not actually getting to run Daytona and then skipping a couple of races. I did go and watch Atlanta and Martinsville to kind of, be in the garage, see how everybody reacts to the stages and what they're, you don't see everybody's idea on TV. So it was good to get down and dirty and actually see that. When I got to Kansas, I talked to Noah about his idea and how he liked the stages and how rough it actually gets between some people up there. And obviously between about 5th and 15th, the top five are kind of secure. They know they're going to get their bonus points. But between 5th and 15th, you got some guys getting pretty rowdy out there. So I knew I wanted to be cautious, kind of be on my toes. At Kansas, it was lap 40 and lap 80 for the stages. And I believe there were a couple cautions right there around that time. So it does get rowdy. You just want to get on your toes and want to look past the hood pin and make sure you avoid that. And, in our situation, we want to take advantage of any spot that we can gain. And sometimes that happens through a wreck, and, we want to make it through it and then keep the truck clean and move on to the next stage for sure.
You were talking just a little bit ago that, not having that experience in the mile and a half and how flat Kansas is, Charlotte this week, however, is a quad oval out there with some higher banking out there. How much and what have you done to prepare for something like that?
Yeah, so the mile and a half at Charlotte, you know, obviously same distance, but a lot more banking, and there's quite a bit of character, you know, with a couple bumps getting into the corners. The Truck Series just had a recent test that I wasn't actually a part of, but I went out there to watch and see what guys were doing, listening to, you know, throttle and that sort of thing. On my end, do a little iRacing. You know, it's fairly realistic, and you get to kind of see where the signs are and get an idea for where the bumps are at in the corner. You know, that's fairly realistic, whether it's early or right there, you know, in the center of the corner. But until you actually get out there and do the real thing, you know, your mind's kind of wandering and you're not sure what's going to happen or what the track is exactly. But within a couple laps of practice, you know, I'll have an idea of what our goal is and how the track reacts to my driving style. And I'm pretty excited. You know, I like the high banks. I feel like it's similar to Chicago, and I ran an Xfinity car there last year, so I'll definitely be looking back in that notebook to see what I felt and what I thought.
Looking past Charlotte, what do you have in your plans for later on this year? And as a follow-up to that, just how hard is it for a team like yours to go out there and look for that sponsorship to get past some of these races?
Well, to start off, you know, we have Charlotte coming up this weekend. Just announced a new sponsor, Ranch Hand Truck Accessories. Got to check them out. They're based out of Texas. They make some awesome bumpers, grill guards, and step tubes. So I'm excited to get those on my truck. Wish I could have them on my race truck, you know, that the guys would like that so we don't have as much front bumper damage. But as far as what I have lined up here in the next couple weeks, it's going to be Dover and Texas after Charlotte. So I'm excited to, you know, work with the same crew chief, get out there and run a truck multiple weekends in a row. You know, anybody that's followed me along this past season and the start of this year knows that I've kind of been in the truck, you know, once or twice a month, not, you know, every weekend. So I'm excited to kind of build on that, keep my edge sharp, and, you know, look to getting some good top 20 finishes and hopefully even better than that. So I look forward to Dover and Texas. I know Dover is a pretty tricky track, but I know my guys are going to build me a good piece.
Spencer, I appreciate it. And before we let you get out of here like we do with everybody else, we'll give you some time to thank your sponsors, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media. And again, we appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. And good luck this weekend at Charlotte and your future races there at Dover in Texas, and whatever you have coming up beyond those in the 2017 Camping World Truck Series season.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. You know, thank you for giving me this platform to, you know, reach my fan base and your fan base. And obviously, I wouldn't be at this level without my great primary sponsor, Grunstyle, which is a patriotic apparel company. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Grunstyle. Check out Grunstyle Motorsports. They're going to post a lot about my racing throughout the year, and you can find updates. And then we got our new sponsor, Ranch Hand Truck Accessories. You can find them on, you know, all that Facebook, social media, Twitter, Instagram. And then I don't know if you guys have followed me along too long, but if you check me out on Facebook, I go Facebook Live and do Cruising the Campground with Excessive Carts. Got a really cool golf cart. Kind of unveiled that at Kansas, and I'm going to have that at Charlotte here for the 10 Days of Thunder. So I'll be riding around, LEDs, music blaring, signing some autographs, getting to meet the up-and-coming, you know, legend and late model drivers throughout the country. So I enjoy that a lot. You can find me at Spencer Boyd on Twitter, Spencer Boyd Racing fan page on Facebook. And, you know, any questions, and, you know, your support means a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot. You take care.
Awesome. Have a great night. Thank you.
Yeah. Spencer Boyd there, ladies and gentlemen, driver number 12, Grunstyle Chevrolet, the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Young man, sounds like he knows what he's talking about, Steve.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, bringing new sponsors into the sport is always a good thing, too. I like when, you know, a lot of sponsors, especially ones that are interested enough to come in here and sponsor some of these drivers that, you know, are up and coming, trying to make their foot, get their foot in the door and further their career, especially in these series like the Camping World Truck Series. That's exactly what it's for and what it's, you know, intended purposes, you know, to really get these drivers ready to move on throughout their career.
Yeah, sure enough, Stephen. NASCAR Camp for World Truck Series is a great series. And again, we want to thank Spencer Boyd there, if you're still listening, for coming on. And, Stephen, let's take a little quick break. Before we come back, we're going to give away a Pit Stop Radio LLC T-shirt. I posted on social media the other day, and I think I might have shared it. We're going to give it away via trivia question. But in the meantime, we're live in Dagen Nation. Me and Stephen is going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
I'm John Wayne, Superman, California. I'm a Chris Christopherson song and moaning. I'm a mom and daddy singing along to Don McLean at the levee. I'm a child of a backseat freedom, baptized by rock and roll. Marilyn Monroe in the Garden of Eden. Never grow up, never grow old.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
All right, we're back live from Dagen Nation. I'm Tim DeSpain alongside SpeedwayDigest.com. Stephen Wilson up in the Commonwealth of Virginia, as I mentioned earlier. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. And here is the trivia question to win the Pit Stop Radio LLC. Black question is, drum roll, I ain't got a drum roll button. What year and at what track did Bobby Helen Jr. win his first cup race now? What year and at what track did Bobby Helen Jr. win his first cup race? Number of callers is 215-383-3681. And I'm sure there's a lot of folks digging in there, Google, trying to look around and see now, Google and all that. But, Stephen, the the NASCAR Next Series, they throw it out there, the 2017-2018 NASCAR Next class, and it includes some of your names like Harrison Burton, and just to scroll on down here and look, I mean, there's a lot of big names. Todd Gillian, he's in on this.
Yeah, he reigning K&N champion out there. I think he has what? I know he's got 8 or 10 different wins there in that series. I mean, he's won at least two or three times this year already in the K&N series. I mean, he runs both the East and the West series out there. I mean, he's a heck of a driver. I'm telling you what, you got to watch out for him when he comes up. And yeah, Harrison Burton, his own son, the son of Jeff Burton, Bristol earlier this year. He was on the pole, if I remember correctly,
yeah.
in the K&N series.
Yeah, you're right.
So
you're right.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. So there's a heavy hitter class out there with these guys that are, and girls. I think there was a couple girls in there too. Two or three girls, if I remember. All right.
Yeah, and yeah, and to throw back on your Harrison Burton deal, he also won there at he won at South Boston. I mean, you know, and I watched him race a couple of years ago at Montgomery Motor Speedway. So Suzanne and I went down there with Stan Harrison. He's got that's a iconic track down there. I actually got to interview Harrison down there and talk to Jeff, and seems like he's a good kid. And you got that Ty Majeski. He was also mentioned in it. But, I mean, just a lot of good names. We've got – looks like Todd's done call back in. Let's see if he's got the answer to the trivia question. Todd, you got the answer to the trivia question?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, okay. I thought you'd call him back in with an answer. Okay, I'll push back over to you.
Okay.
Unless you want to give it a shot.
2003 at Kansas.
No, I'm gonna put you back mute, Todd.
Okay.
He tried. The trivia question again. Let me read it off one more time. So even if we don't get any callers, we're gonna get out of here tonight. What year and at what track did Bobby Hillen Jr. win his first Cup race in what is now the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series? So we have no callers, Stephen. So we might just hold it up until next week. We're coming up here on the top of the hour, and we're going to Charlotte this weekend for the All-Star race. Bud, you got the schedule?
Yeah, I got the schedule here. So there's going to be a little bit of different going on here when you get to the All-Star race. So you're going to have to bear with me here. Coming up, this is on Friday, NASCAR at all times Eastern here, NASCAR Camp World Truck Series qualifying for the NC Education Lottery 200, 4:45 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 rounds of qualifying for those guys. Then, immediately to be followed, 6:05, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series qualifying, three laps with a pit stop. Got it? Three laps with the pit stop. This is for the NASCAR All-Star Monster Energy All-Star Open. Following that at 7:30 will be, again, Monster Energy NASCAR Series qualifying. This will be round number two. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is, forgive me. This is for the All-Star race. Sorry. I'm trying to do this on my phone. 6:05, qualifying, round one, three laps with a pit stop. This will be for the All-Star race. At 7:05 approximately, this will be round two for the All-Star race. Again, three laps with a pit stop, top five. This will be for the top five's impound race. All right. Then at 8:30, NASCAR Camp World Truck Series, 134 laps, 201 miles, for the NC Education Lottery out there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Then on Saturday, we will have NASCAR Monster Energy Cup qualifying yet again. This will be for the Open, for the Monster Energy Open, the Monster Energy All-Star Open. Multi-vehicle, two rounds, 5 minutes. Top eight will move into the second round of qualifying. 20 minutes for the first round, 5 minutes for the second round. Top eight will go into the second round. Hope you all got this because it's really, really confusing. At 6 o'clock, NASCAR Monster Energy All-Star Open. This will be broken into three segments, 20 laps, 20 laps, and 10 laps. The winner of each segment will move on into the NASCAR All-Star Race, and there will be one fan vote that will also be included on top of this. At 8 o'clock, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series All-Star Race will be 90 laps in total, four segments, 20 laps, 20 laps, 20 laps, and 10 laps. No, 70 laps in total. Sorry, my fault. I can't read tonight.
It's a lot to comprehend. It's a lot to comprehend, Steve, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to read this all off, so I'm making a few mistakes here. So y'all guys have to bear with me just a little bit. In the Monster Energy All-Star Race, teams will be given one set of soft option tires. You can take them at any time, any of these segments. They, according to Goodyear, per their press release today, will last those 20 laps or one segment. However, they're about 3 to 5 tenths faster than the normal set of tires. Now, the option set of tires, if you take them in the final segment, those final 10 laps out there, if you take them during that at the final 10 segments, you've got to go to the rear of the field. Got all
I need
this?
A secretary. I need a secretary.
Right about, you're going to need a lot of notes. Right, you're going to need two or three notepads for all this. That's why I'm getting a little bit confused, because I'm trying to do all this off my memory and everything that I'm trying to read here. So you can take those option tires at any time, or you don't have to take them at all. They're just there as an option set if you choose to take them. You take them in the first three segments, you come off of pit road, and you start wherever you come off of pit road. However, if you take it in that final 10 laps, as I said, you will start at the rear of the field.
And also, Stephen, I want to add to what you said about the qualifying with the pit stops. There is no speed limit on pit road, so they're going to be getting some yonder coming down pit road.
That is correct. No speed limit during those three laps when you have to make your pit stop. That is correct. They have taken the speed limit off because they hit that pit road at about 120, 130 miles an hour before they lock their brakes up.
And flat spot the tires, too. Yeah. Steven, you've done a great job explaining that. Thank you again. And I want to thank Spencer Boyd for coming on the show tonight again. And good luck to him up there at Charlotte this weekend. And I thank you, Steven, for all you do for the sport with your website and coming on with us every Tuesday. And let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, and we'll get out of here.
You can follow me at Speedway Digest on Twitter, facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com. Me and Brett will be holding it down for all the information outside of Charlotte. And Caleb Whistler will be at Charlotte covering all the cool things going on out there with the Monster Energy All-Star, and he will be back for the Coca-Cola 600 the following weekend. So lots of good stuff, lots of cool things. So that's what we're doing.
Yep. Everybody follow Speedway Digest, Caleb, Brett. They give do great coverage every weekend. And Stephen, tell AM and the boys we said hello, and we will be back next Tuesday night at the same time, live from Vega Nation. We're saying good night.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling north on 95. Shotgun and a pistol by my side, tearing down that highway like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. We met at a truck stop, Johnson City, Tennessee. Yeah.